The Holy Gospel according to John, the 4th chapter. Now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard, Jesus is making and baptizing more disciples than John, although it was not Jesus himself but his disciples who baptized, he left Judea and started back to Galilee. But he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give them will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had 5 husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." And Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her jar of water and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Surely no one has brought him something else to eat." Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me, and to complete his work. Do you not say, 4 months more, then comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, 'One sows and another reaps.' I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I have ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Good morning, church. I pray that you are well. What a crazy time we are living in right now. While I have recorded sermons and podcasts in the past, I never thought that this would be the primary way I would share good news with you. Of course, God can work through anything and make what seems impossible, possible. As you all are well aware, we are living in a season marked by the coronavirus. We have closed the church and canceled all worship, activities, events, and meetings at church through April 3rd, out of a sense of caution and care for one another. One other church in town, First Plymouth, put it well when they wrote, "We are called to love our neighbors, but in these strange times, that means not being with your neighbor in a large group. Love seeks the safety of all." And you know, they're right. These are indeed strange times. Everyone from schools to businesses to communities of faith are reevaluating what resources we have so that while we are physically apart, we remain connected. As a congregation, it's these connections and relationships that make us fellow disciples and one in Christ. So hear me when I say that we are a strong community together, and we will get through this together with God's promised help. In a recent note from the ELCA, it stated that when anxiety is high in our culture, worship continues to be a primary location for the proclamation both of the good news of Jesus Christ and of the continuing compassion and care of God in the midst of our humanity. It's a place where we can find solace and reassurance in the midst of our fears. You know, most of the times when God or Jesus reassures others saying, "I am with you," it often follows words like, "Do not fear," or "Be not afraid," or "Fear not." You see, there's this deep connection and interlinking between God's presence with us and the calming of our fears. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the church in Philippi, even wrote, "Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends and surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." This is great news. God is big enough to take care of folks who are not sick and folks who are sick, folks who are caring for them, medical personnel, first responders, community leaders, and so many others, and still handle our fear. Jacqueline Bussey, in her book Love Without Limits, has this one imaginative piece that I'd like to modify with you. So I invite you to close your eyes for a moment and take a deep breath. Now imagine anxiety, worry, fear. Can you see them in your mind? Now picture the boundary that they crossed. Picture that boundary as a fence. Can you see the fence? Now I want you to muster your strength and do something brave. Kick them out. That's right, kick them right on out of there. Kick that anxiety and worry and fear right back across the fence and into God's hands, trusting that God can catch them all and still give you peace. ELCA Presiding Bishop Elizabeth Eaton, in a video message about the ELCA's response to COVID-19, reminds us that this is a time to live and act as faithful people of God. Lent is a time of intentional prayer, reflection, silence, and scripture study. We're being given the chance to pause, breathe, and reflect on what it means to be the body of Christ, how we stay connected when we aren't together, and how we care for our neighbor. Fasting is part of the Lenten discipline, so we may need to fast from the physical touch of sharing the peace and even receiving Holy Communion. While decisions around worship and church closure may feel abrupt, very abrupt, we continue our journey in this Lenten season, and as we move toward Holy Week and the cross, we feel the weight of thirst for peace and the sting of hunger for community. Just like the Israelite community in the desert who quarreled with Moses, saying, "Give us water to drink because we are really thirsty." There are times in our lives when we thirst for a cup of cold well water or the water from the rock in the desert. And there are other times when we thirst for different water, for the water of non-anxious peace, the water of hope and assurance, the water of forgiveness and reconciliation, and the living water that comes only from God. You see, we have this God who understands our angst of social and economic and health tensions and gifts us with hope and life-giving water that becomes in us springs of living water. God knows what we're going through and reminds us that we will be brought through this event too. Remember that verse from Psalm 23. "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Our God promises to accompany us always to the end of the age. God holds us as the body of Christ and wraps us in God's surpassing peace. God blesses us with one another in times of need, and God says over and over again in Scripture, "Do not be afraid, I am with you." This time away from communal worship provides you with the opportunity to practice your faith at home with loved ones or over the phone with friends. So call one another. Check in on each other. Make sure your neighbors have what they need. Just because we don't gather doesn't keep us from being church. Like Jesus reassured the woman at the well, where we worship God is not as important as that we worship and come to God in prayer, especially in times of crisis like the one we're experiencing now. Where we worship God doesn't matter. It's the spirit of faithfulness of worship and true belief that God is with us wherever we are and wherever we pray and wherever we worship. We trust that truth. Bishop Eaton goes on to say, "We will respect the disease and not take unnecessary risks. So wash your hands. Take care of the physical and spiritual needs of our neighbors and care for one another, especially the most vulnerable. Remember this, we are not alone. Jesus said, 'Remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Be of good courage, dear church.'" So please pray with me. God, our peace and our strength, we pray for our nation and the world as we face new uncertainties around coronavirus. Protect the most vulnerable among us, especially all who are currently sick or in isolation. Grant wisdom, patience, and clarity to healthcare workers, especially as their work caring for others puts them at great risk. Guide us as we consider how best to prepare and respond in our families, congregations, workplaces, and communities. Give us courage to face these days, not with fear, but with compassion, concern, and acts of service, trusting that you abide with us always. Gracious God, it is good for us to gather as your beloved in community. We treasure your presence with us in word and meal, song and prayer. Be with us in these days when gathering together as often as we would like is not possible, when we must be apart for reasons of safety. We trust that you surround us with your sheltering wings. Encourage us in connecting as we are able, reaching out to our neighbors in needs, and being persistent in prayer. We ask this in the name of Jesus, our constant companion. Amen.